In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the blessed month of Baba. And whenever there is a fifth Sunday in any Coptic month, usually the reading is about the miracle where the Lord fed the multitude, the 5,000 men. So this is something, if we are to observe the rite in the church, whenever a month has fifth week, this is a sign of a blessing for this month. And then this is the reading usually. In the context of this miracle, we see that the Lord asked Saint Philip and the other disciples a question. He said to them, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And to our surprise here, we can think why the Lord is asking this question. First of all, he knew that the disciples have no solution. And secondly, he knew also what kind of solution that he's going to do to this particular problem. But why he asks questions? There should be a reason. And he is not doing this only with his disciples, but also he does this with us. Sometimes we are faced with situations in our lives that look like a difficult question. We have to think about it carefully and see why the Lord is asking this. There are many reasons. Going through the scripture, we see the Lord asked questions for different purposes at different times. In this particular situation, he asked the question in order to test the faith of his disciples and also guide them and us to learn the way. What do I mean by this? The disciples learned math, maybe in their simple life as fishermen, in a particular way. And Saint Philip, when he was asked, he answered the old way, how it is. We have 5,000 men, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, and if we need to buy food for all those people, this is 200 denarii, which is almost the wage of any of the people who work for 6 months. And this is also not enough. So here Saint Philip is making the calculation based on the old mind, thinking about the resources versus the need. The Lord here is asking the question in order to teach him and the disciples another way to make calculation. With the same resources and the same need, add to the resources that we have God among us. The Lord is with us. Then at the end, the calculation is working well. Then there will be not only enough, but will be also there is more, there is abundance. Sometimes we are asked questions in order to come to this conclusion. What kind of calculation do we do? Whenever we are faced with a challenge, do we think only about the resources versus the overwhelming need? Or also I think about, okay, let me solve it this way. I will get the Lord on my side, and then he will be taking care of it. The only way for them to learn is the Lord challenging them with this question. We cannot learn while we are leading an easy life, everything is solved. Your son and daughter will never come to think on their own unless you will put them in a situation that they have to think about it. How are we going to solve this? It is not love that we always make the answers for them. It is not a sincere or a wise love that all the questions, all the challenges are solved because I love my son and my daughter so much. I do not want to let them even to suffer thinking about it. This is not the Lord how he's teaching us today. It is out of being a wise love that we throw the question and put the challenge and let them learn and think about it so they can learn the lesson that's going to last for life. The same disciples asked themselves this question after the ascension of the Lord to heaven. The challenge at that time is not feeding 5,000 men. It's far difficult than this. It is teaching and letting everyone in the whole world to know about the incarnation of the Son of God. This is the need. What are the resources? 12 fishermen, very simple people. If they go into any debate of our contemporary kind of debates, they will never win. This is the resources, but at that time they learned the lesson. They were tested before, and now the answer was not right, but at that time, they will answer it right. We have 12 fishermen, but we have God with us. And whenever He is with us, then it's going to work. We will go and preach, and it will work fine. The Lord also asks question in order to lead us to admit our sins and express our remorse. This is the objective behind the Lord asking Adam and Eve, after immediately they fell and they ate from the forbidden tree, He asked Adam, and He said to him, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Of course, the Lord saw it all the time. He was watching while the serpent was tempting Eve. He watched while Eve stretched her hand and took the forbidden tree. And He watched while she ate and she gave to her husband. All the process was before Him. But He is coming now and asking Adam this question, "Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" He was here confronting him in order for Adam to come to a point where he acknowledged his mistake and his sin. This is the time for him to think and start answering the right answer. "Yes, I did. I regret it. And I'm asking the Lord to pardon me." He didn't do this, unfortunately. The answer was the woman that you gave me. And instead of Adam examining himself and coming to repentance, he threw it to another person. The responsibility is on her. "The woman that you gave me," as if in his answer he is pointing that the mistake was the Lord's mistake. "I was living peacefully. I wouldn't fall in something like this. This is the woman you gave me." The Lord is giving us questions like this every day, asking us, "Did you do this particular thing that you knew you should not be doing it? Did you truly did this and broke my command?" The answer should be, "I did it, I'm responsible for it, and I'm mistaken. Lord, I'm asking for your forgiveness." But sometimes we do like Adam. Most of the times we do like him. We try to run with it. This doesn't help us. This doesn't lead us to where the Lord wants to lead us. This kind of questions should lead us to repentance and acknowledging our pitfalls. The Lord also asked questions in order to get us back on the right track. In the story of Elijah the prophet, the man at a certain time got desperate and upset. Everyone is after him. Ahab the king and his wife Isabel were chasing him. And he felt like, "I'm lonely, nobody's listening, everybody's against me." So he left everything behind him and ran to the wilderness. The Lord found him, and He said to him, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and He said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? This is not your place. What are you doing here? You are not called to hide, or at a certain moment to come and say, 'I cannot do it anymore, that's it.'" This question should also hit our ears whenever we are not on the right place. When we sometimes feel like, "I am done. I will just leave what I am called to do, and I will lead my life away from the hassle. I'm not going to serve anymore. I'm not going to take care of the people whom I'm taking care of. I am tired of them." This is not where we should be. The Lord asked Elijah in order to make him to think, "What are you doing here? This is not your place. I didn't call you to stay in the wilderness. I called you to be among the people and go and preach to them the word of God." It's a question that also reminds us whenever we are busy doing something irrelevant or where we should not be. When we are not supposed to be in a particular place, the question will come to us and say, "What are you doing here?" It is not fitting for us to be in a particular places, going to places of immorality or gambling or where things are not befitting the holiness of the saints. The Lord also will ask us this question, "What are you doing here? You are not supposed to be in this particular place. You are not called to be here." A question that struck our ears and make us to remember the calling we are all called for. The Lord also asked question in order to correct us by means of a debate. Jonah, he rebelled at the beginning, went his own way away from what the Lord wanted him to be. And then the second time, when the people of Nineveh repented, Instead of being happy with this, he stayed at the the side of the city, and he started to look at them and feel sorry about himself. I said to them something, and it didn't come true. I said that the Lord will overthrow Nineveh, and the Lord didn't. And he got upset at the Lord's mercy. So the Lord went with him into a debate in order to correct him. And he said to him, is it right for you to be angry? I am amazed at the Lord's humility asking this question. Of course, it is not right. What Jonah is doing is something that has no rationale. He cannot justify it. But the Lord, instead of saying to him in like a blaming way or a harsh way, what are you doing here? Just go back to where you should be. He didn't do this. He said to him, is it right for you to be angry? The Lord, by doing this, is trying to correct him and making him to visualize what kind of action he is doing. This is not right, what you are doing, Jonah. But he said it to him in a way of a question. This is a lesson for us also, how to deal with the people whom we care and love, with our children. Maybe it is better to ask a question and make him or her to visualize what they are doing, rather than just maybe threatening or blaming or accusing them of something. It is better to have this kind of dialogue. The question made Jonah to think and to tell the Lord, yes, I am angry. And coming to himself within, the Lord said to Jonah that, why you are angry? You don't care about those people, 120,000 person? You cared about this small tree that came in one night, and now you are not caring about those people. This kind of a debate, the question and answer, allowed the Lord to correct his prophet. The Lord also asked questions and asks questions to reconcile us to himself. This is what he did was Simon Peter. When he met with the disciples at the Lake of Tiberias, he took him aside and he asked him this question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? The Lord knew exactly that Simon loved him. He doesn't need even Simon to think and tell him something the Lord is not aware of. But why he was asking the question to him? In order to reconcile him and making him also to say the word, yes, Lord, I love you and I wanted to tell you this even when I denied you like just 3 days ago. Yes, Lord, let me say it to myself to assure myself first that I love you. Yes, even when I am mistaken, even in my sin, but I still love you, O Lord. It is something for us also to learn that when we stand in prayer, while even we just sinned against the Lord and transgressed his command, just assuring ourselves, Lord, I love you truly from my heart. I was mistaken, I have sinned, but this doesn't change the fact that I did this out of weakness, not because I betrayed you. It was for Simon, not for the Lord. The kind of information that the Lord requested is not going to add to his knowledge anything, but rather it's going to assure Simon about the fact that he loved the Lord from his heart. The Lord asked this question to reconcile the man to himself, and he does with us every day. Another question that the Lord asked to examine the belief of the people, he said to them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked this question to all the disciples. What the people say about me? Also, again, the Lord is not lacking the information here. But why the question is? In order for them also to confess that through faith, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. This question is asked to the Lord every day, is asked by the Lord every day to you and me. Whom I am in your life? Am I just a miracle doer? Is the Lord only for us the provider? He is something that's hazy, we cannot define in heaven. Is he a character in history? Something that we read about it like we read about kings and prophets? Whom he is for you today? This is a question for all of us to answer. It's not only given for the disciples, to the disciples at this particular time. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's a question for the disciples and for us also to examine our belief in him and to bring us to the true faith. The Lord, when he asks questions, he doesn't ask it for himself. He asks questions for us. It is something to be added to us, not in knowledge that he is lacking. He asks questions to test our faith and guide us to learn his way, to lead us to admit our sins and express our remorse, to get us back on the right track, doing what we are supposed to do, to correct us by means of a debate, to reconcile us to himself, and to let us examine our belief in him. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.